Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, May 7th, 2020. Multitasking is bad for radio, but what do you do? What do you do? It's interesting. Where is that? You know, I think we have the technology. Don't we have the technology to be able to do better? We have the ability. It's still within our grasp. The interwebs are still not completely under authoritarian lockdown. The social media platforms are, but, you know, frankly, I don't care. I think Jaron Lanier is right. I think we need to get away from that stuff. What happened if we launched a legion of, you know, do you remember about 10 to 15 years ago? I do, when the conversation was about a thing called hyperlocal content. And hyperlocal content was supposed to be content tailored to, you know, you, where you are, but in a specific location. And that's cool, but obviously this technology is not to serve you. You are not the customer, you are the product, as has been mentioned many, many times. Which is why, as John in Tennessee just, you know, reiterated, we're moving toward the Internet of Things. And since you're a product, you're not a person, you're a thing in the economy of the Internet of Things. And that's just a fact. And those people who keep bumping up against their own cognitive dissonance and confirmation bias, which frankly is unfounded at this point. It really is. Just because you have your head stuck so far in the sand, or, you know, whatever, and you are not in touch with reality, doesn't make it true, doesn't make it right. You know, all of these fact checkers, speaking of which, I got a notice, something on Road Warrior Radio Facebook page is, what did Facebook say? Partially false. Where is that? Just as a sort of anecdotal aside, what does it say? Content shared, partly false information found on Road Warrior Radio. Road Warrior Radio shared information that's been reviewed by USA Today. Oh, okay, well, that's good. We've added a notice to the post so others can see that it's partly false. Oh, that's good. I mean, think about this. Are you kidding? USA Today, fact check, Kansas City did not require churches to turn over membership lists. Oh, well, that's a relief. No, it's voluntary compliance. Everything is voluntary, and you will comply. You know, just like Shelley Luther didn't have to apologize for being selfish. Anyway, who knows what you can believe these days? Who knows what's a psyop and what's not? I think we're getting to a place where it's the nuanced, the hybrid psyop, like I was saying with John in Tennessee. Because as I've mentioned many times, the best dupes and useful idiots are those who don't know they are, obviously. Best mules, the best, you know, provocateurs, etc., etc., those who are abused in the fashion that Dietrich Bonhoeffer mentioned, speaking of stupidity, and don't know it. And you shouldn't have to. I mean, there's a healthy sense of, from Hebrews chapter 5, you know, that healthy sense of having your through practice, through training, having your senses. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. There's a healthy sense of that, but you shouldn't just have to exhaust yourself day in and day out, weeding through what's mostly false. Well, there's true information, yeah, but it's wired together in such a way that it misappropriates context and meaning, intent, all of those things, and therefore it's false. In the same fashion that Jesus said of the devil who quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus in the wilderness, he is a liar and the father of lies, and when he speaks from his own nature, and there is no truth in him. But wait, he quoted Psalm 91 verbatim, right up to the moment where he left out essential context in the next verse. And so, you know, remember when we were growing up and we heard, if it's not all true, then it's not true at all? That kind of thing. Anyway, there's evidence all around us. I think of California's 25th Congressional District, for example, their special election. You know, Christy Smith and Mike Garcia, two sides of the same awful coin. Since no candidate received more than 50% of the primary vote, the two top finishers, Christy Smith and Mike Garcia, I think that should tell you all you need to know. And by the way, remember can't think of it now. Anyway, speaking of election fraud, the 49-51 nonsense that we always have, that's not by accident either. To always make sure that you, that ensures continual, like just perpetual controversy. It's worked very well for decades. And for those who don't realize that the elections have been rigged for decades, go listen to what go look at the Dick Gregory story, you know, the 1968 election, that story. Anyway, look that up for a fairly pedestrian level, entry-level version of that story. So Christy Smith and Mike Garcia, two sides of the same evil coin. She's kind of hardcore, you know, most people say maybe progressive. I would say communitarian, you know, socialist, progressive. Mike Garcia, fascist, you know, Raytheon guy. And, you know, no one received more than 50% of the primary vote. So, I mean, it sounds like California's 25th Congressional District is sort of disgusted with what they have, what you guys have. And that, I think, is emblematic. And there's, you know, corruption all around us, which reminds me of what the founders said. They echoed it. Speaking of John Adams, he was very articulate. Katie Hill resigned. Neil Ferguson resigned in disgrace. He wasn't the first either to resign his position in disgrace. Remember these words, Benjamin Franklin, only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. As nations become corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters. John Adams, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. It's the Christian, Orthodox Christian concept that is in mind there, or in view. I feel like, you know, if we can do it, maybe it's time for another installment of Jordan Peterson's How a Totalitarian State is Actually Formed. Is it time for that? Is that helpful? You know, the responsibility of every individual in a society that is allegedly of by and for the people. How many of us have actually spent time focusing on the good things? Which is why I keep coming back to John Adams and James Otis. And I've talked to several people older than I, you know, I turned 50 this year. I will later this year. And so I've been around for a while. I've talked to people who've been around longer, and no one knows who James Otis was. John Adams said he was the earliest and principal founder of one of the greatest political revolutions ever to have occurred among men. This is the cornerstone, you might say, of the American Constitutional Republic, and no one knows who he is. I guess it's just not cool. So what are we talking about then? You know? What is America if we don't understand these concepts? I don't want to focus on the bad stuff all the time. Maybe I'll start doing a series or something on, I've been trying to point to some of this other stuff. I think that's, if that's what got us to what the world envied, regardless of what you might say about our freedom obsession or whatever, it's the foundation of all that was I would say it's kind of the foundation of what's all that's right and good in America. Contrast to all of these deviations from that. You know, and again, not to belabor the issue too much, but we're having technical issues, so I don't know what's going on. It's distracting. I apologize. John Adams to William Tudor, June 1, 1818. No man could have written from memory Mr. Otis, James Otis's argument of 4 or 5 hours against the acts of trade as revenue laws and against writs of assistance as a tyrannical engine to execute them. Now, when we look at the spying, tell me it doesn't sound the same, you know, what John of Tennessee and I were just talking about. The overreach, for Pete's sake. Acts of trade as revenue laws and writs of assistance as a tyrannical engine to execute them. The next day, after it was spoken, how awkward then would be an attempt to do it after a lapse of 57 years. Nevertheless, some of the heads of his discourse are so indelibly imprinted on my mind that I will endeavor to give you some very short hints of them. Number one, he began with an exordium containing an apology for his resignation of the office of Advocate General in the Court of Admiralty and for his appearance in that cause in opposition to the Crown and in favor of the town of Boston and the merchants of Boston and Salem. Two, a dissertation on the rights of man in a state of nature. He asserted that every man, merely natural, was an independent sovereign. Now, this is a concept. Hopefully, we can play a clip for Pete's sake. We'll see if we can do that. You know, I'm already missing a couple. But speaking of Tom Fitton, this I think dovetails handsomely or neatly with what Tom Fitton has said recently and things that we should all be concerned with. It's a similar sentiment, in other words, that I feel Tom Fitton is expressing. And his frustration and outrage is sort of rooted in these concepts that we should all, despite the programming that we receive on a constant you know, and continual uninterrupted basis everywhere you look, we should be rooted in this concept. The Dissertation on the Rights of Man in a State of Nature, he asserted, James Otis, that every man, merely natural, was an independent sovereign subject to no law, but the law written on his heart and revealed to him by his maker, capital M, and not the maker of the Internet of Things. And revealed to him by his maker in the constitution of his nature and the inspiration of his understanding and his conscience. So that implies that you have one and you maintain and keep it. His right to his life, his liberty, no created being could rightfully contest, nor was his right to his property less incontestable. The club that he snapped from a tree for a staff or for defense was his own. His bow and arrow were his own. If by a pebble he had killed a partridge or a squirrel, it was his own. No creature, man, or beast had a right to take it from him. If he had taken an eel or a smelt or a sculpin, it was his property. In short, he sported upon this topic with so much wit and humor, and at the same time, so much indisputable truth and reason, that he was not less entertaining than instructive. And then, of course, we bump into the issue of monopoly, which we used to be concerned about in this society. Now we're all just sycophantic little children, right, in H.G. Wells' time machine. He asserted that these rights were inherent and inalienable, that they never could be surrendered or alienated but by idiots or madmen, and all the acts of idiots and lunatics were void and not obligatory by all the laws of God and man. Nor were the poor Negroes forgotten. Not a Quaker in Philadelphia or Mr. Jefferson of Virginia ever asserted the rights of Negroes in stronger terms. Young as I was and ignorant as I was, I shuddered at the doctrine he taught, and I have all my lifetime shuddered and still shudder at the consequences that may be drawn from such premises. Shall we say that the rights of masters and servants clash and can be decided only by force? I adore the idea of gradual abolitions, but who shall decide how fast or how slowly these abolitions shall be made? Point number three, from individual independence he proceeded to association. If it was inconsistent with the dignity of human nature to say that men were gregarious animals like wild horses and wild geese, it surely could offend no delicacy to say they were social animals by nature. That there were mutual sympathies and, above all, the sweet attraction of the sexes, which must soon draw them together in little groups and by degrees in larger congregations for mutual assistance and defense, and not, as I usually say, not P2OG meets R2P sort of fashion, not that. And this must have happened before any formal covenant by express words or signs was concluded. When general councils and deliberations commenced, the objects could be no other than the mutual defense and security of every individual for his life, his liberty, and his property. And not in William Devil Bill snake oil salesman fashion. Not in Dewey Oxberger salesmanship fashion with an Irwin Mainway defense. Not that kind of thing. Stick around, I'll be right back.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix a problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
This is important stuff. John Adams on James Otis, writing to William Tudor, June 1, 1818. And again, this is the beginning of a series of letters that John Adams wrote to William Tudor on the subject of James Otis and liberty, freedom, you know, a dissertation on the rights of man in a state of nature, and from, again, from independence to association, and the roots of what it means to be an American, if I dare say so myself. And there's this, again, gets back into some of this, you know, there are some interesting, curious lessons of history. So let's before I get back into this, maybe we'll try to get some of these clips out of the way, because I think we have the opportunity to. So first, on education, you know, Charlotte Isserby has told us that charter schools are not a good thing. It's a bait and switch. And, you know, the bait is better education, better blah, blah, blah. But the switch is privatizing what has been historically public. You know, what do you do? And so, again, I feel like, you know, as John Adams put it, all the perplexities, confusions, and distress in America arise not from want of honor or virtue, or from defects in their constitution or confederation. So much, I think I got those switched around, so much as downright ignorance of the nature of coin, credit, and circulation. And so the problem is when you have a predatory so-called fractional reserve system, an inflationary system, Ponzi scheme, you're always going to, that should be, you know, for people who want to get elected, we should have people who are not, don't have the whispers of the technocrat, you know, the technocratic communitarian whisper in your ear, the think tanky policy making crowd, you know, because if you really want to run the society, you you become that, you know, you take your fortune that you've made through predatory means and you create a foundation that leverages the taxpayer's dollar. As some folks have mentioned, since the foundation exists by the subsidy of the working class, the taxpayer, then shouldn't it be our money, Mr. Hand? Shouldn't we? Isn't it our money? Isn't it our time, Mr. Hand? Since a large portion of the foundation, like the Gates Foundation, is subsidized by the American people in this case, shouldn't we all be talking about what to do with that money? So anyway, you create that, you launch these think tanky organizations in academia, create an army of experts, so-called, and then you start telling people this is what we need to do, and you whisper in the ear of policymakers, you probably grease those palms every once in a while, and lo and behold, policy starts to grow out of those efforts. So we just had folks who weren't listening to those quarters and were saying, all right, so the first question is, we have these services in society. We have education. We want to plow the roads in the winter. We want to do certain things. Inflation dictates that each year those services will require greater monetary units. Inflation also dictates that your wage will be diminished. The units will purchase fewer goods and services, the same amount of units, Federal Reserve notes in this case. So how do we reconcile that, people? Because what's happening now in New York is Andrew Cuomo thinks it's a fantastic idea to partner with Bill Gates. Are you kidding me? People should be out in the streets rioting to have Andrew Cuomo removed from office, recalled immediately. Because if this one guy is, I mean, just think about it in simple terms. No one is perfect. And if this guy finds anything objectionable, he doesn't want you to hear. Do you think that'll get sanitized from the educational curriculum? I mean, is it really that much of a leap? And there's a lot he doesn't want you to know. Stick around, we'll be right back. Or question about that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on a tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. For me.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Let's go back to the phones real quick and grab Rhonda in Missouri. Rhonda, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Rhonda.
I have a quick comment, or actually question, and maybe a suggestion there somewhere. I was listening to your broadcast yesterday on Archive, and you had talked about that story about that hairstylist that opened early and he was going to be jailed, right? Yeah.
Dallas, Texas.
Right. Well, I had a thought. Okay, first of all, I think I heard the governor said let her go or something, just let her go, let her out. But...
assistant governor, I want to say.
Is it Rick Scott? Or is that Florida? No.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't live there.
Greg Abbott. Yeah.
Greg Abbott, yeah. Okay, yeah, the guy in the wheelchair. Anyway, yeah, so it'd be helpful, I think, when, because I've heard other hosts talk about these stories, and, you know, when that's brought up, because I had a situation a while back, but where, I mean, you know, the constitutional rights compared to these things called ordinances or suggestions or what's going to land you in jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes.
So nobody had a gun
of that,
in any of those. Yeah?
Speaking of that, I wonder if I can find that. Tucker Carlson interviewed the attorney for Shelley Luther. I wonder if I can find that. And he was talking about what we talk about on this network, you know, what we've talked about for years, the administrative hijinks and why it's such an important issue. And basically that these rules are just sort of made up and I think Tucker Carlson has done a good job over the last 2 or 3 days in particular of pointing out the fact that these executive orders, for example, are not, you know, somebody's...
Thank you. Rhonda?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I apologize. So the power went out on my end for those listening. So it's always something. I don't know what the deal is, but it seems like the disruptions are myriad during this broadcast. I don't know what it is, but something. It's very interesting. It's all a coincidence. So anyway, I didn't catch a lot of what you said, Rhonda.
When you guys, the hosts of the show, bring up these topics like so-and-so is jailed for this or that, mm-hmm. now, you know, life is, you get busy enough so you don't really know what the law is or the ordinance or whatever it is this day, and nobody sends you a memo on it, right? So, I mean, I found that out when I was, I had a situation where I had the dog catcher was able to catch my two cats. They were disabled. And they were trying to get an extortion
fee
from me.
To be clear, the cats were disabled, not the dog catcher, right?
Well, I think the whole situation was extremely unfortunate. And just, you know, it was just what a mess. Anyway, so they tried to get an extortion fee from me, you know, we'll take your dog, or the cat, sorry, even I'm confused. They were able to catch the cats, and they said, you have two choices, because you didn't have your cat on a leash. I said, what? Excuse me, what? You know, and because they were disabled, I had something from the vet that said they cut their neck. Don't constrict their neck in any way because, you know, any more of that would be bad. So I didn't know there was a leash law for a cat. Secondly, I wasn't going to pay their dog catcher fee for catching my cat. So I said, I'll go to court, you know. So I go to court with a letter from the vet, get up to the judge, and he goes, he read the letter. It said, I can't have anything, you know, with constricting their neck. And he goes, okay, then I you're on probation, Missy, you know. You're on probation. I don't want to see you in here for another 5 years. But in the meantime, the house burned down and the cats died in the fire. You know, just a few, well, whatever. Anyway, so I took my chances in court, and I had to pay $24 rather than, I don't know, $200 extortion fee or whatever it is to get my cats out. And it was just, I was like, oh, and when the bailiff went to have me pay my fine, he goes, you really should keep your dogs on a leash. I was like, you know, you're right. I should, except I have cats, right? He goes, oh, I meant your cats. I'm like, you didn't even know. He didn't even know, right? So when this kind of stuff comes up, you know, it would be helpful to know how they got her, if you will, in quotes, got her, right? But in the same way, Lori, no, that's the lady, and that's, what was the girl's name in Dallas that was put in jail?
Shelley Luther.
Shelley. In the meantime, Shelly opens her store under a license, you know, from the state, I'm sure, because that's what I have, to, I don't have a salon, but to have a business license, right? And they have these executive orders or whatever. She can open her salon. I mean, it's hers to open. I'm sure she's still paying rent, right? And if her stylists don't want to show up, they don't have to. If the customer doesn't want to come in, they don't have to. Nobody's making anybody do anything. So they're doing it through their free will, right?
So that is a critical point that seems to escape many people. You know, if two people freely decide to engage in business with one another, who is to say that they need help, quote-unquote?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, if I feel like I'm as unconcerned with this thing as Neil Ferguson is when he invites his mistress over for a tryst, or Chris Cuomo is when he goes to see his vacation property while he's infected. If I'm that unconcerned, like they are, those who are preaching to the rest of us, then I should be able to go get a haircut like Lori Lightfoot does.
Mm-hmm. But again, the rules don't apply to us, right? And they always have an excuse, don't they? Well, I needed to look good for the cameras. Really?
Actually, like Lori says the rules do apply to Chicagoans, but not to her, because she's the public face of government.
Right.
So.
That's how somebody should go after these people. And you know, that Judy Mikovits story? Who even knew she existed? I didn't until that clip that's going around, right? So that was a better thing.
Well, most people didn't because of the gag order, obviously, until recent, you know, within the last few years, she was forced into silence. So
I would think she'd have a lawsuit, though, because she didn't, they can't do that. They can't just say, you don't have any rights, you know, for stealing her patent. Or, no, it wasn't hers, but you know the story. But they can't do that. You know, she wasn't harming anybody. She was actually she's trying to protect people from their garbage. Anyway, that's frustrating to see. And, now she's bold enough to come out and tell her story, but I'm sure the press wouldn't cover it. But 5 years? That's not... and then I looked up... I was trying to find out if, the CDC has ever been sued. I found one article. It was something to do with a foreign country. And they came back and told them, prove it. Prove it, right? I can't find the article anymore, but sure, if I dug, I don't know how I found it the first time. But that's what they do. They go, you know, it was about money laundering. So I'm like, have they ever gotten in trouble for money laundering? Because that's what all this stuff is. It's a giant money laundering operation, right? And, that's what they do. And then I was like, and then I came across an article that says, you cannot sue a government agency. Like, why? Right? Were you aware?
Again, that's an issue that Tom Fitton touched on, the concept of sovereign immunity that has been I can't think of the term, but it's been switched around, basically. And now, instead of the way that the administrative state views sovereign immunity, it's a concept that no longer applies to the individual in a common law sense. It applies to corporations and 5 USC 551 persons. In other words, non-flesh and blood entities. And so that's the context of sovereign immunity, and you can't sue a federal agency, for example, or a 5 USC 551 person unless it consents or agrees to being sued. So that's something that has been an issue for a long time. It's something that when I went through the administrative stuff, subject matter, many years ago, I talked at length about that and how... Well, stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
My numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Welcome back. Final segment of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Is it really Thursday already? I can't believe that. Where's the week gone? Anyway, and we're on the phones. Rhonda in Missouri. The administrative issue, you know, the last thing I was going to say is, you know, it's become sort of anecdotal at this point. I mean, I've mentioned lots of things. The best entry point into the discussion, in my opinion, is, again, R.J. Pistrito's piece over at the Heritage Foundation, the birth of the administrative state, where it came from, and what it means for limited government. And it's an excellent entry point. He mentions Gary Lawson's Rise and Rise of the Administrative State, which is a piece Gary Lawson wrote that was published in the Harvard Law Review back in 1994. I've mentioned James P. Hill's Third House versus the Fourth Branch, which was published in the John Marshall Law Review in 1986. This is not a new discovery, and lots of people have written about the fundamental shift that the administrative state caused. And you go back to the 1946 Administrative Procedure Act and the formalizing of the fourth branch, which according to Roosevelt's, FDR's President's Committee on Administrative Management, or I think that was the name of the committee. There was a committee that was formed to investigate the independent agencies and similar bodies, and they said it was a haphazard collection of agencies that represented a headless fourth branch. That's a paraphrasing. And that was something that was quoted in the run-up to the passage of Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act. Senator Pat McCarran, actually, I think, was the one who quoted from the president's committee report to that effect. But the point is, you know, they talked about the formalization of the administrative fourth branch. Senator Pat McCarran said in 1946, we have created a fourth branch. And as I've said before, he reiterated that several times and clarified. And, you know, as folks like Lee Brobst have pointed out over the years, there was a transition from the Swift versus Tyson standing in 1842 of the common law being the law of the land, so to speak, to in 1938 Erie Railroad versus Tompkins, similar to how the Administrative Procedure Act formalized in a legislative fashion the administrative fourth branch. From a judicial standpoint, the Erie Railroad versus Tompkins case in 1938 effectively did the same thing and said, you know, from the opinion, they said there is no federal general common law. And now this administrative thing is the law of the land, and that's why ever since then we've seen a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance. I'm not hearing the bumps. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.